I believe, John, your brother as well, Bill. Yeah, so they'll be ministering in Cuba. They're there serving. And so we just want to be in prayer for them today and obviously this week, next weekend as well, I think, as they begin to make their way home. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for a time in God's Word. We're in the Gospel of Luke in our study there, digging in further. We'll be in chapter 2 today, looking at about 10 verses. But let's pray again, and then we'll look at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 32. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for these moments here this morning. We're grateful that we can gather here with confidence, not necessarily in and of ourselves, but confidence in you. Confidence in the fact that you are the sovereign God of the universe. You're the perfect one. You're the one that has come for us and is leaning into us and that we can depend on in all things. And God, we're grateful for how you're growing us and changing us and building us up in the faith. Lord, we just acknowledge, as we so often do here, we need more of you. We want more of your direction. We want more of your grace. We want more of your word. We want more of your direction through us and through your word and by your Holy Spirit. And we want to be more anchored in who you are. So God, I just lift up everyone here now. I pray for your encouragement upon everyone here in the bleachers. God, we're grateful for first-time guests here today. We're grateful for those that have been a part of Harvest along the way these first few months. We're thankful for what you're doing, and we thank you for what you will do. God, just watch over Bill, watch over Brent as they minister. Give them protection, give them courage. Help them to be effective in the mission you've called them there to. And I pray that eternal fruit would come through you based on their efforts as you minister in and through them. And God, I pray that you would just slow us now, kind of just the busyness of the mind at times, the internal aspect of who you are, that you just calm us, slow us, and give us the ability to just hear from you through your word today. So give us good ability to receive and to hear, to be built up, to be challenged, and then to take strides of faith with courage, knowing that you are good, you're with us, and you're moving in great ways. So God, I just pray your blessing on our time here now as we look to your word. May it be clear, accurate, led of your spirit, and ultimately honoring to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are you guys dedicated to? What are you committed to? I think the Lord calls us to a life of being fully dedicated and all in. But what are things that you're pursuing, locking in on? I was thinking of Beethoven this week. One thing I've sort of forgot and just never really gave a lot of attention and thought to is that Beethoven, one of the greatest pianists that we know, one of the greatest conductors, songwriter, just phenomenally gifted. What I forgot to remember is that Beethoven, by the time he was hitting his late 20s, was losing his hearing. He wrote some of his best music while losing his hearing. His Ninth Symphony, he was not fully deaf, but he was getting really close. And by the time he got into his 40s, he was virtually deaf. So he was just dedicated to his craft, dedicated to his music, putting everything into the music. And crazily enough, a lot of his best stuff, he didn't even have the ability to hear because of his hearing condition. What are we dedicated to? What captures our heart and our attention and our focus? What kind of gets us up in the morning? I'm encouraged by our ranchers and farmers, the dedication that you have to working your land and working your cattle and work at just all the time and effort, the countless hours, working in crazy, like, conditions that I just want to stay huddled up in my house, and you guys are out working the land and working the animals. Dedication. Commitment. As I've grown in my walk with the Lord and as I've progressed, I'm not necessarily concerned that we'll mature and find our way to lives that are dedicated to things, What I get concerned about is, are we dedicated to the wrong things? Am I somehow making the kingdom of self or my career my ultimate objective? Is that my end-all, be-all? Prayer is that we'll grow in our identity in Jesus, and more we're dedicated to him and his ways and what he has for us. I'm not concerned that you'll be dedicated or committed. I guess the concern is, are we maybe dedicated to the wrong things, wrong people, the wrong approaches? I don't say that to be jarring. You're like, man, you're all freaked out now. Just as we come to Scripture, we want to be realigned and retethered to Christ, the one that's committed and dedicated to us. I mean, literally, heaven came down when Jesus was born. The God of the universe came for our rescue to make God the Father known so that that gulf of sin and depravity and evil that sort of corrupts all of who we are and like just has messed everything up, that that gulf could be filled, that Jesus could be the ultimate bridge for us to God the Father, and that more and more our everything is captured in him, caught up in him, that my life orbits around Jesus in totality. In a proper sense, the God of the universe, for those he's wooing and calling to himself, wants complete access to you and access to me. In a proper sense, he wants to invade every level and layer and aspect of how we are and who we are and how he's created. He wants to be at the epicenter of all of your relationships. He wants to be the supreme focal point, the object of your faith and worship, your first love. And from that, everything else begins to sort of fall in and come together when he is supreme. The prayer is that we would be dedicated this great Savior who's wildly dedicated to the will of the Father and also committed and dedicated to you, your life, your thriving. I launch into this part of Luke today because we encounter more people that are really dedicated to Jesus, committed to his grace, committed to his rhythms through the Word, committed to hearing the Holy Spirit and being moved to the Holy Spirit to walk in the ways of Jesus. So what am I committed to? What are we committed to? May our ultimate desire, our ultimate love be Jesus first, the ways of Jesus, and let that permeate and shape and encourage and build us up. So Luke chapter 2, looking at verse 22. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Jesus is born. Miraculously, the Son of God, the Eternal One, the Rescuer, was born through the Virgin Mary. And many people have been brought to Jesus. These announcements were brought their way. The shepherds were able to come and worship and see all of these great things that God had done. And so Mary and Joseph, we've met like this sort of supporting cast. And then we met the protagonist a couple weeks ago here in Jesus. And now there's a progression of things. On the eighth day, Jesus was given his name, Jesus. And now there's this whole process of purification that Mary and Joseph are following. And what I want to just highlight right from the jump is that they were dedicated to doing things God's way. Committed to the law, committed to the scriptures that they were taught. They were young, teenagers, from what we gather. And right from the jump, they were like, no, we're doing things God's way. You're like, well, Gabriel came, and of course they're gonna. Yeah, an angel comes to me. God's gonna have my attention, of course. the reality is, within God's sovereignty, there is this tension between his sovereignty and our free will. There are choices that God in his providence and sovereignty allows us to make. But at a young age, they were like, nope, we want to track with God. We want to do it his way. Young people, like, there's going to be people going against the grain and kind of encouraging and promoting you to do this, that, and the other. And you say, no, like, I hear that. And that's enticing. I'm curious about that. But no, what does God say? God never leads us astray. God never leaves you to a less than kind of life. He leads to abundant life. Certainly, he cares for us physically, but emotionally and spiritually, he's leading us deeper into his kingdom and all that he has for us. And so I don't want to hear like, oh, well, yeah, I'm young, or I would hear this, I have three brothers, I'm going to pick on us guys, and I do it in love. Like, you'll hear this, like, oh, boys will be boys, you know, guy, they're just, you know, no. Well, yes, we mess up. But we're not going to be cool with that. I want to challenge our young guys. I want to challenge our men. No, let's be men of God. Let's be men of valor that the scriptures speak of. Let Jesus rule and be king. No, we're going to do it his way because there is no other way. And the funny thing is along the way, we're like, okay, sometimes it can be sort of like taking medicine. We're like begrudgingly following God's word. We're like, okay, I know it's good for me. I know it's good. But then you get to the point that the Spirit is changing you and you're feasting more on the ways of God and the rhythms of God and the scriptures that you don't want the old way. The times you drift back and you drink from those old cisterns, those old wells, you remember, oh, yuck, I don't want that. It's not of God. So this is a young couple committed to doing it God's way. May that be for us as individuals. May that be for you and your families. If you're married or engaged, whatever. No, we're doing it God's way. He knows what's best. So they were committed to the law, the instruction, the rhythms of worship that were established before Jesus came to be the ultimate sacrifice. And so there's this whole like rhythm of purification after a mother would give birth. She had to go through this 7 days of cleansing. On the eighth day, the child was then given the name. And then after that, if it was a male, there was 33 days that beyond that. So 40 days total where she was ceremonially unclean. She couldn't go and worship at the temple. She could not enter into sort of holy matters, if you will. There was this time of preparation and rest and purification. And if you had a daughter, it was even longer than that. It was like 80 days in total where they were going through this purification process. Mary and Joseph were like, no, we're doing it God's way. So the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, and they brought him. Who's him? Jesus, our hero. They brought him, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Savior, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Alpha and Omega, the cornerstone. They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just picture this for a moment. You know, in the future we'll have baby dedications and things like that and child dedications here at Harvest. And it's this sort of celebration of God's provision through these sweet little ones. And we pray over the family. We pray for these little ones. And ultimately, we're acknowledging, God, we want to do it your way. We want to raise them the ways of Jesus. And we're acknowledging, like, this child is yours. Mary and Joseph, in some measure, with a lot more imagery and symmetry, symbolism, and so forth, in that Hebrew system, that progression of purification and worship, they brought the Son of God to the temple and offered Messiah, Christ the King, to God the Father. Your will be done through your Son. Your kingdom expand through your Son. You reveal yourself to mankind through your Son. In an act of surrender and dedication, an act of worship to God, they're ultimately saying, we're here to steward this little one for a time. Ultimately, this little one belongs to you. That was one of the hardest things I think I had to grapple with as a young dad. I'm an old dad now, but when I was younger, it's like, man, I love these kids. I love them to pieces. They drive me nuts sometimes, right? But that's part of the fun. But I just love them. But there was just sort of this understanding that I had to lean into that I think all of us parents have to lean into. And the fact is, it's like God in his kindness will bless us with children, but we have to acknowledge they're ultimately his. We get to care for them. We get to build into them. We get to equip them. We get to train them. We get to challenge them. We get to kind of cut them loose and see them progress in levels of autonomy and freedom. But at the end of the day, our two boys and our daughter belong to the living God. He's just given us the privilege of stewarding them, walking with them, parenting them. Joseph and Mary here are saying, Lord, this is your son. This is the Son of God. We yield to you as king. We yield to your will and your directive. We yield fully to you. And they went to present him before the priests there and ultimately before the Father. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So here there's this practice of sacrifice after the purification process. The woman would come with husband, family dynamics there would come before the priest there at the temple, and they would offer sacrifices to then reignite this time of connection where they were ceremonially ready to worship again. The scriptures, if you want to go back and look, Leviticus 12 through 1 through 8, kind of unpack more of that, give more detail. But the burnt offering was supposed to be a lamb that was a year of age, and then there'd be a bird offered, a turtle dove or a pigeon, for the sin offering. But there was a little clause in there that said if the person was not able to afford a lamb, because there was some cost involved, that they could utilize two birds, two pigeons, two turtle doves, one for the burnt offering, one for the sin offering. Luke, our great historian, gives us a little bit of the background here. He mentions that they utilized a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. He's quoting there out of Leviticus, but he's highlighting here, giving us detail that gives us the indication that Mary and Joseph were of meager means. They didn't have a lot of funding or resources, but they were faithful to the word and faithful to offer the sacrifice, and they utilized that gracious sort of clause there that would allow you to use two birds. Birds were more approachable, more affordable. Simple obedience to doing things God's way. Simple faith with what they had and what he provided. And they continued on. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, right? A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. We now meet Simeon, this other devout person, this faithful one, committed to pursuing a life of worship, committed to pursuing a life of righteousness, devout, committed, faithful to the things of God, the ways of God, committed to prayer and doing things God's way. Commitment. What am I committed to? What are we pursuing? What's driving us? What's our focal point? Like, are we aligned with the things of God? Are we devout more and more like Simeon? So there he was in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation or the encouragement of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. We've got X amount of days here on on planet Earth. We don't know how many days we have here. The scriptures indicate God knows. He knows exactly when we'd be born. Winter time here on Earth will end. And the question is, what are we committed to? What are we devoted to? There's going to be a future day. I don't mean to sound morbid, but there's a future day coming where people are going to gather at a cemetery and they're going to reflect on who you were. They'll reflect on who I was. People will share stories and memories. I'm praying that in that future day, the people gathered there can, at the end of the day, ultimately say, yeah, you know, Tim was faithful, he was consistent. My prayer is that they would say he was committed, he was faithful to the Lord and faithful to his family, devoted to the things of God and the body of Christ. Leverage today. Don't wait. As the Holy Spirit searches and the Lord sifts through who we are as we're processing the word this morning, where am I out of alignment? What am I holding on to that's not of the Lord? What am I worshiping? It's not of him. It's not him. And that future image that he gave there, not for our glory, but for his glory, that people would step back and say, man, God was on display through her. Christ was on display through her, through him. There was a commitment to the one that was committed to them. Simeon was devoted, was committed to the things of God, committed to the plan of God, committed to being with God in prayer. It overwhelmed him, consumed him in a proper sense. We'll meet Anna later, not today, but Anna married for 7 years and her husband died, and then for 84 years she was a widow and she never left the temple, just fasting and worshiping and praying and seeking the heart of God. What am I dedicated to? What are we dedicated to? May it be Jesus first and foremost, and let him shape you and form your life and your future as he intends. So here's Simeon. He was waiting for a consolation of Israel, the encouragement of Israel, right? Jesus wasn't fully on the scene yet, and he was looking and waiting and longing for King Jesus, the rescuer, to come and begin to put everything back together, all the things that were broken, all the things that were lost. He began to sort of reform, draw the hearts of people back to the heart of God. Many weren't looking, but many were. People that knew the word, that knew God, were hanging on his promises for a savior. And so Simeon was one of these folks that had trusted in God, was pursuing a life of maturation in the faith. And he gets this great understanding here from the Holy Spirit. So he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. This has come up a time, and almost every section Luke has mentioned God, the Holy Spirit. This is significant. The same Holy Spirit that was active in Simeon's life and in Mary's life and Zechariah and Elizabeth's life is active and at work in us today. We're being sensitive to the Spirit. We're receptive to the Spirit's guidance. So the Holy Spirit was upon him. The verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He wanted to see Jesus. It was his burden to see Messiah, the rescuer. And God, through God the Holy Spirit, allows Simeon to understand that he will not perish or pass away until he gets to see the long-awaited Savior. How cool is that? Friends, the God of the universe works in great conjunction with his Son, and he works in great symmetry and connectivity and purposeful aspect and sort of a purposeful nature through the Holy Spirit and the Word. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit make this incredible, I mean this in a good sense, an incredible sort of force in our lives. It cuts through the noise, gives us a firm foundation of truth, gives us anchoring. Just confessing personally, like, life can be loud and busy and noisy, and sometimes it's hard to hear the movement of the Holy Spirit in me or in us in those times where we're just not making room. That's crazy to say, but not making room for the Lord to minister and guide and direct. Like, life is just, it's loud. Sometimes our internal life is really busy and noisy. You stop and you pray, and then you begin to think about your to-do list. Like, okay, stop. No, hold on. I'll just say this, like, preachers will beat you up. Oh, man, like, it's like, okay, if the Lord's directing you, then you're distracted, like, someone's coming to mind in your family, maybe the Holy Spirit's saying, pray for, take some time and wander into that prayer for that individual at work or your family, something going on that, But there are times where life is just, it's too bloated, it's too full, the schedule's too crowded. I'm preaching at me, like, you guys are here and I care for you, but I'm just like, I'm visualizing a mirror right up this alley, this aisle, alley, looking in the mirror like, okay, what do I need to say no to so that I can be more alert and aware and sensitive to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God in my life? The Holy Spirit will challenge us, correct us, rebuke us. The Holy Spirit will refresh the teachings of Jesus, refresh the teachings of God's Word, will rebuke and challenge where we're sort of off track, where we're leaning into things that are not of Him. The Spirit will give us boldness to continue to say, no, I am surrendered to Jesus. I am dedicated and devoted to moving closer towards Jesus and walking His ways, to make sure that Jesus is at the center of my parenting, that to the best of my ability, Jesus is at the center of my work, the state, the private business, wherever He's positioned you, maybe in the schools, that He would be the epicenter of it. But just like I carve out time to eat, believe it or not, carve out time to work out, I need to carve out consistent rhythms where I can be positioned to hear from God through the Word, where I'm not necessarily hurried, and where I can be sensitive as I pray to hear from the Spirit lead and encourage and challenge and point me to where He's pointing me for that day, for that week. This was unusual. This is pre the day of Pentecost. We're seeing that the Spirit, we see throughout the Old Testament how God the Holy Spirit was active. The Spirit was active and upon people. We're seeing here again before the day of Pentecost, which is the day that the Holy Spirit was gifted and blessed to all who had surrendered and trusted in Jesus, were people of the faith. But here now, Simeon's being fueled by God the Holy Spirit and is given this great message. You know what? You're going to see the Savior before you perish. Verse 27. He came in the Spirit into the temple, Simeon. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, okay, here's Simeon, here's the Son of God. Holding the Lord's Christ, that's Yahweh's anointed one, right there cradling Jesus, Savior, looking him in the eye. What a privileged moment
that Simeon was given. Dedicated to the things of God, and greater than our dedication is this God who's dedicated to us. He's committed and faithful to us. Simeon now receiving Jesus, holding Jesus in his arms, going through this process of worship, is just blown away, and he responds with this worship song. And we'll look at these last couple verses, and we'll wrap up here in prayer. Verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He's like, I can die a happy man now because I'm seeing more and more the faithfulness of God, receiving the peace of God. Here is Messiah right here. This is the one. There is no other greater one. This is going to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This is the Emperor of emperors. He's leading the one and only true kingdom. And Simeon's holding him like, holy cow, how great are you, God? Lord, now you are letting me, your servant, he's saying, depart in peace according to your word. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation. We speak of salvation as we should. It's a key aspect of the faith. And sometimes we talk about it sort of just in its way of transaction. And it is this move of God on our behalf. But what Simeon's reminding us of here this morning is that salvation is a name. Salvation is Jesus. It's the work of God on our behalf, but it's done in and through Jesus and through Jesus alone. So Simeon's overwhelmed. He's like, I'm looking salvation right in the face. This is the one that will carry out the will of God for eternity. And this is the one that makes everything all right. Jesus is our salvation. It's personal, and it's relational, and it's tangible insofar as God and his mercy has come for us. To bring your life and my life from the brink of destruction, to bring our lives up from the pit, the psalmist would say. To bring us from desperation, to bring us from a status of hopelessness to true hope that's squarely connected to God. Simeon, my eyes have seen your salvation, Father, because I have seen the Son that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. God, you have come. Heaven's come down. The hero has come. He's here. You have done this, and you've done it for the peoples. You've done it for people from every walk of life. Every ethnicity, every nationality, he's done this. He's provided a way. The Son would reveal the Father to people from all walks of life, from the four corners of the globe. You've done this, Father. You've prepared this, your Son, your anointed. You've sent him at the appointed time, and you've done this in the presence of all peoples, the Jewish people and non-Jewish people. Question within that is, have we received this gift of Jesus, the gift of the gospel? Have we surrendered to him in faith? We're hearing this, we're getting this sort of imagery from God through this true account that Luke provided for us as he was moved to the Holy Spirit. He gives us this moment where Simeon is face to face with our rescuer. Am I yielded to him in faith? Is the Spirit softening in us and in me that we're committed to this one that's endlessly committed to us? In verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. God was making a way for the people outside of the chosen of Israel to be blessed for eternity, to enter into eternal life, to become people of the promise and the covenant, to be recipients of the instruction of God's word, to become part of a community of unity that is Jew and Gentile alike, that have come by the grace of God and the sovereignty of God to kneel and yield to Jesus in faith. Praise God, he's made a way for all of us. Bless him today that he's made a way to lead us out of the darkness. And through Jesus, who is our life and our light, this sounds a lot like the prophet Isaiah. It sounds like instruction in John 2, the opening of the Gospel of John. A light for revelation, this light that reveals the Father, that reveals the life that we need, a light that pushes back all of the corruption of the soul and all of the sin and all of the just nastiness, pushes it all away that we might be brought to new life, that we could be born again. But we're either in or we're out. The students are probably bored to death. You might be bored to death now, but like we've been going through the Psalms, and one of the things we talked about in that opening book of the Psalms, or segments of that writing, Psalm 1 is an invitation to us. Well, we have lives that are rooted in the living God. We have lives that are anchored in God. Will we be men and women, guys and girls that are bearing fruit in our seasons because we're being nourished by the streams of water, this living God, or not? And there's no in between. The juxtaposition is so clear. There's no other rescuer but Jesus. There's no other future sacrifice to come. It's been handled through Jesus. There is no other way but Jesus. There's no one worthy of your dedication to than Jesus. He has got to be God. He's got to be the center. He's got to be your anchoring point. He's ready and willing to be that as he calls us to him and we surrender in faith. There is no other light. There's so much just chatter and so many things promising life, and let me reveal this to you, and let me, you know, try this new workout thing, and all, you know, we joke about it like it's going to change you. And then we got a vacuum that says, yeah, this thing's amazing. We got the vacuum, then it broke. I was like, I thought this was going to like transform everything. Our shark blew up. And it's Jesus. Plain and simple, it's Jesus. So he invites us today to come and to trust. He invites us today to say yes to him as he's saying yes to us. He's inviting us to walk in the light that he's providing so that we might know God and be right with him. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. He is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to his people. There's a future now that Jesus has provided through the cross and through his resurrection where he's making us one. All of the hostilities and the things that divide, he's made a way, he's broken them down so we can be one true eternal family. We're dedicated to the one that is dedicated to us. The dedication here, we've touched on just a quick recap. There was a commitment to the word and following the word. There was a commitment to devout prayer. There's a commitment to listening to the instruction of God's word and the movement of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with truth. The Holy Spirit will never contradict God's word, only illuminate it, reinforce it, and encourage you to take those steps of trust and faith with him. So what are you dedicated to? What am I dedicated to? May we together grow as one and be more dedicated to the one that is so faithful to us. It's an ongoing thing. There was this really significant Broadway show that came out. Oh, it's been a chunk of years now. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote and produced and designed and everything, Hamilton. And for several years, Miranda was working on Hamilton, and people were laughing at him and discouraging him because he wanted something really historic and accurate about the founding fathers, but he wanted that story of historicity and accuracy of history about the founding fathers to be carried forward on Broadway through hip-hop. People were like, what? How does that work? And so there was just, but he's just committed and dedicated to seeing it through. And he worked at it, he worked at it. It took him almost 8 years to get the thing to Broadway, and it actually started off Broadway, but then within a short amount of time, because of its success, it went to Broadway and has grossed tons of money and tells history in an interesting way. Dedication. He looked at that as sort of his life's mission, but in a greater way, may we be committed to growing the faith, sharing the faith, being aligned with him, but may we be committed for the long haul, whatever it takes. 7 years before Jesus returns, 70 years, depending your age, but there's a dedication and a commitment to pressing on and pushing forward in the ways of Jesus. You're going to look unusual at times. You're going to take heat at times. You're going to get pushback at times. You're going to go against the grain a lot of the time. But like Mary and Joseph, like Simeon, many others, stay the course. Press on. Trust the word. Obey. And as I always say, you're going to get tired of me saying it, don't do it alone. Do it in community. Run with other high schoolers and other single professionals and other retired folks. Run with other people that are surrendering to the one that has been faithful, that's come for them. Let's be dedicated to Jesus together. Let's run the race well. Let's press on today and tomorrow, whatever the time, whatever the duration, whatever the cost, for his glory, and so that others may come to know this King as well. Lord, we thank you for just the opportunity to be here today on the comfort of this gymnasium, to look to your word just for some moments. God, thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for drawing people to yourself in unique ways, in tangible ways. God, thank you for making yourself just available and revealing the Father to us. Thank you for revealing our need of you. Thank you for giving us your inerrant word, that we can grow and progress in our understanding of who you are, that we can move forward in confidence of your truth, that your truth can soften our hearts and our thinking, that your scriptures can guide our pathway. So God, we just acknowledge today we're all in, we're surrendered. We want to grow and we want to mature. In all areas of life, we want you to be the focal point. God, guide your people this week. I pray that you would encourage them, Lord, as we come to some fellowship time now. I pray that you would just encourage, develop new friendships and connections, refresh old connections. And Lord, that we would just lean into your wisdom this week, that we would prayerfully seek your direction for us, that we would search your scriptures for guidance, that we would be quiet before you and hear from you, and that your spirit would lead us accordingly this week and the days ahead. God, give people just great wisdom as they make big decisions this week. God, you're with them in those moments, and those decisions that need to be made. God, when they don't know what to do, I pray that you just encourage them in the unknown, knowing that you do know what to do. God, we just pray your blessing on everyone here. Send us out for a week of worship that encourages, points others to you, and draws us closer to who you are. God, you're good. Thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you guys. We'll spend some time connecting. There's some great treats over there, time to fellowship. And make sure you kind of visit, connect, and pray you have a great week. And make sure you give Dave and Danette a hug and pray with them and give them some love on the way out. God bless you guys. Thank you.